Morning again, everyone. If I haven't met you before, my name is Michael Sams, and it's a pleasure to be here. Let's come before our great God and ask him for help. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with burdens, with stresses, with worries. And we ask now, as we come across your word that deals with these things, that we will seek to understand, that we'll seek to see how you want us to deal with our worries and burdens. Amen. The reality is, we do have many reasons to worry in this life. There's lots of different things going on. Whether you're a pessimistic person or an optimistic person, no matter what your type of personality is, we worry about things. We worry about our work, our reputations. We worry about our health. We worry about our parents' health. Can I take care of them? What can I do to look after them? We worry about our money. We worry about whether we've got enough, not because necessarily we're being greedy, but because we just want security. We want things to be okay. Looming behind it all, there's death. The worry of death that could come at any time. There's a worry of the good things, that we want to go well. There's maybe a marriage coming up, maybe a birth that's coming. All these things that are, we worry. There's times in our life when worry hits a new level. It hit a new level for me 6 years ago when Emily was born, and it's just increasing ever since. I don't want to get to the teenage years. If there's some way, maybe Jesus will come back before my girls get to the teenage years, but I worry about those times. See, we do worry, don't we, about life. Sometimes our worries and our fears are not even rational. They're real, but they're not rational. Those of you who know me know that when it comes to me and snakes, I am completely irrational. Completely irrational. I hate them. I am scared of them. The snake was in the garden. Satan was represented as a snake. Remember that? Don't like snakes. Snakes are bad. They freak me out. So much so, we go on holidays to Gold Coast, to a wildlife park. Oh, we went to this exhibition. This is years ago now, but I remember it like yesterday. We go to this exhibition, and we're in an auditorium. They're showing all these reptiles and beautiful animals, and then he brings out the snakes, and I'm like, I knew this. We're sitting in the back seat up high. There's lots of other kids and everybody else that the snake can get before me. They're down there. I'm freaking out about seeing this snake, and I was like 40 metres away from the snake. Our family went with another family, and Mel freaks out like me, so we sat up the back, and you know, we pretended to be tough, but we were freaking out inside. And then it finished, the exhibition, and then they said, you can come down and pat the snakes and hold the snakes and everything like this. And my shame was complete when all the little kids lined up in a row and held the snake. And Mel and I, even everybody else in our families went down, except for Mel and I, who sat in the back seats, freaking out about touching a snake. Sometimes our fears, our worries aren't rational. But a lot of the time they are. A lot of the time they're hard. And sometimes it's the basic things that we worry about, isn't it? The reality is, and we'll see today, the basic things is what Jesus is addressing. The disciples, the real worry of food and clothing and their life is a reality. Where is that going to come from? We've heard Jesus say, just follow me. No, don't think about other things. That's what we've been looking at in this series in Luke. Jesus is travelling to the cross and he's telling people to follow him. It's a massive, massive problem for us. And it is really fantastic. It's something that we should remember about Jesus. He doesn't just tell us what to do. He tells us how we live with what's going on in our lives. It's fantastic that one of the real problems for us, he talks to us about. And it comes on the back of last week. Remember when Stephen shared with us a guy wanting inheritance and the parable of the rich fool and the concept of not being greedy and how helpful that was. Not storing up everything and being worried about the abundance of your possessions. Understanding that is the only way we can get understand how we don't worry. See, Jesus says today, do not worry. And today we're going to see why. Why do we not worry? See, if you're worry in your life sometimes, today is a good day for you to hear God's word. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you're a high-functioning worrier. Maybe people don't know you worry a lot. Maybe people don't know that you are constantly thinking, is this the right decision to make? I don't know, because you always make decisions, but you're behind the scenes, you're churned up inside and you're freaking out and you worry all the time. Maybe you're a little bit more overt. Maybe you worry and a lot of people know. Whatever it is, Jesus has word for us today. See, the principle that I want us to take home, the way we deal with our anxieties, our worries, our fears, is trusting God. Now, we are going to see that is no mere Christian cliche. Oh, yeah, once again, trust God, believe in Jesus. No, it's understanding what that really means. Understanding what it really means to trust God means we can have a totally different view of how we deal with this world. Look at verse 22. Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. I love this quote. Is the Holy Spirit your comforter or your fridge? See, we get comfort in other things. Food. We love food. We can obsess about food. We use it as a bit of a comfort sometimes. I do. What about all the other things of our life? We don't just use it as a comfort. We're worried that we're going to have enough. Well, that doesn't seem like it's a problem for us. We have food. Everybody here is probably not. Maybe somebody has, but maybe we've all been fine. But it has been a reality recently. There's been towns in Brisbane and around Queensland with the floods where they were isolated and people were freaking out. We might run out of food. The devastation in Japan. People are wondering, can we eat the food? Is it contaminated? Do not worry. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. I'm worried that I look impressive because I need to. I need people to see that I've got it together, so I'll wear certain clothes at certain times. I need to keep it together. I need worth in my status, so I'll worry about what I wear. All these things we worry about. I will admit, I saw a movie a little while ago now, The Confessions of a Shopaholic, and it was interesting. Somebody who got so obsessed with clothes and looking fantastic that their life unraveled because of the massive debt that they had. Because their worry, the desire to look good, had overcome them. But to say do not worry is not in this moment I won't worry, I'll move on to the next thing. It's an attitude shift. It's a constant attitude. Do not worry about your life. It's your general approach. When he's talking about the basic things, he's saying, you don't worry about those things. You don't worry. Now, it's the possibility that you've lived your life by this principle, so you don't plan. It's a possibility, I'm not going to worry about things of the future. I'm not going to worry about them. Jesus tells me not to worry. I'm not going to plan. I'm not going to worry about money. I'm not going to worry about these things. Jesus says, don't worry. But it's not an excuse not to do that. We know that Jesus had a plan. Jesus came into the world with a plan. As he's telling people to follow him, he's got a plan. He's going to the cross. That plan has a future plan. Everybody in heaven with him who follow him. It is wise to plan. The Bible is constantly teaching us wisdom. There are books devoted to it, like Proverbs. We don't just go, well, our church finances, don't worry, it's all okay. We need to have a plan. so we can keep on serving in Elwood. But life is more important than the basic things. If life is more important than the basic things, it's because we have a relationship with God. We have a relationship with God. And so we see verse 24 in this illustration of disgusting ravens. These unclean birds, the ravens. Verse 24, they do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. So they were seen to be unclean. I don't feel like ravens. I've never really considered them much. But they were unclean. People don't care for them. They were scavengers. They weren't a good bird, not particularly liked. The raven is cared for by God. The raven has a relationship with God in the sense that God provides for it. We are far more valuable to God. We have an actual, real relationship with Him. Can you see the concept that's happening here? See, the ravens don't have a pantry or a fridge. They're provided for. God feeds them. See the concept? How much more valuable you are than birds. The first thing we need to see to understand that we trust God in dealing with our worries and our anxieties is that we have a relationship with God, which we see is through Jesus. There are more important things. But we get to verse 25, and then there's another reason. It builds, it snowballs. I want you to see the weight of the whole argument. Verse 25. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? You're feeling unwell. You're worried your health is deteriorating. You're worried maybe that your lifespan's going to decrease. So you go to the doctor. You say, Doctor, make me better. I want to live longer. And the doctor prescribes to you stress. I want you to go out there and get a whole bunch of stress and anxiety. I want you to be freaking out day by day that you can hardly function because that'll make you better. You'll live longer if you do that. No doctor's ever said that to you, have they? Because actually, as we know, as Jesus knows, stress and anxiety ultimately do the other thing. Go the other way. See, stress and anxiety are not good for us, and we see we can't do anything about it. Worry changes nothing. You worry, you freak out about something, is it going to change? It's not. And so then we get to think about the flowers, the wildflowers. When I was reading this, I'm thinking, man, I'm trying to deal with worrying, and now Jesus is telling me to think about flowers. I'm not a flower type of guy. I don't think about flowers. And so when I get to dealing with big issues, why is he telling me about flowers? Verse 27, consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labour or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? You of little faith. See, when we think about the flowers, is the picture of lilies, wildflowers in the field. These flowers, they don't get up in the morning and make themselves beautiful. They don't get up and put on fine clothes. They don't get up and are responsible for their splendour. It happens to them. God makes that happen. They don't figure that out themselves. They are just flowers. God is behind it. And we see these flowers are magnificently beautiful. They are beautiful flowers. Solomon, the great king of the past who had all this splendour, the richest, the wisest, despite his follies, his magnificent and splendour, people came to see. It's nothing compared to the beauty of a field of magnificent flowers. Consider them, because flowers don't last very long. They go, they're thrown into the fire. God clothes them. God is the one responsible for their beauty. He's going to clothe you. He's going to provide for you. You see, these transient things God
looks after.
He will look after you. And so Jesus has this little word for us who struggle with our worries and have got things a bit turned around. You of little faith. He's saying, if you let your anxiety, if you let your worry, your fear take hold, you're not trusting in me. And really what you're doing is expressing a lack of trust in me. Forgetting God cares, changes absolutely nothing. Instead, Jesus says, you're forgetting the one who you have a relationship with. Now, it's really important to hear this word for those of us who struggle with worry. All of us. But it's also really important to see, as we see this, that there are real struggles. There are real struggles and battles. There is depression. There is real anxiety that need counselling, sometimes medication. All these things are real. And Jesus isn't saying, you're going through this, it's just a lack of faith, get out of it and trust in me. He's saying, trust in me no matter how you're feeling. No matter the battles that you may have, remember, those things you can't change. It might not necessarily for you all the time fix your emotional state. But it'll go a long way to helping you in your relationship with God and day by day. So we don't use, no matter how much we struggle, we don't use how difficult things are as an excuse not to trust God. That's the thing, isn't it? And so we have a relationship with God. We realize worry changes nothing. And then we profoundly need to acknowledge, well, we're out of control, aren't we? If we can't change anything, it realizes we are out of control. We can't control whether we get food or not, even though we think we can. I mean, the tragedy of Japan and people living on the coast, it's wiped away. People who now, because they were living in places where they're isolated, they probably for a while felt like they had control, like us, of their food, their possessions. And it's gone. It's horrible. We trust him and recognize we are out of control. You see, Jesus, he knows what it's like. He knows what it's like. He is not some religious, pious guru sitting up on a mountain saying, do not worry, that's the solution to all things. Now just do it. Jesus, God himself, became a man, lived amongst us, and experienced worries, experienced fear, experienced people who betrayed him. He had nowhere to lay his head. He trusted in his Father. He knows stress and anxiety. Where was he going? Going to the cross. When he goes to the cross, what's happening there? He is going to face the wrath of God for all of the sin of the world. That wasn't news to him. He knew what he was doing. Is there ever something to worry about? And Jesus, we see in the Garden of Gethsemane, expressed that worry and fear, but trusted his Father. Your will, not mine. He had friends who betrayed him. But he still went to the cross to deal with our sin and ultimately to take away our worry. You see, then in this passage, we get once again the reminder, do not worry. Verse 29, do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. He's repeated himself a little bit, but not completely, just exactly the same. And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not set your heart. Include here, this matters. We finish this passage with this again. See, here we find our treasures, like the kids saw.
Here is where we find our treasures.
What are you emotionally invested in? What do you emotionally invest your time in? There you'll find what matters to you. See, that is what unbelievers do. The pagan world runs after all such things. So that's what the rich fool was doing with his barn. I've got lots of grain, I'll store it up, it'll be fantastic. I can eat, drink and be merry. There is my security. There I can deal with my worries. We don't do that. Our heart isn't there. Maybe you have a friend. Maybe you have a sibling. A relative. Maybe it's yourself. Who it's so obvious that when you speak to them, that is what they're worried about. You speak to them, first thing they say is, I've got this, I've done this, I'm going here, I'm doing that. I've bought the new. Habitually chasing after other things. See, none of these reasons that Jesus is giving us make sense unless we understand that we don't take stock in our possessions. They're not the things where our heart is. The lesson of last week needs to be applied. We are not greedy. We are not worried about the abundance of our possessions. Then we can see, okay, I trust God. I have a relationship with Him. I can't change it anyway, and I know that I'm out of control. And we also know something else. I like this one for its simplicity. And I think I forget it. I wonder whether you forget this very obvious and simple thing. Verse 30, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. Your Father knows. When you're worrying about them, just remember, God knows. You are His children. You've trusted in Jesus. He is your children. He knows that you need them. He is a good Father, the perfect Father. He will provide for you. He knows. My prayer this week has been that I will remember that. Because I think I forget. Or I act as if I've forgotten. You see, knowing that, we seek His kingdom. In verse 31. You see, instead of seeking the things here to help us deal with our worries, we seek His kingdom. Priority is God, representing God on earth, seeking His ways, His desires. That is what we do. We do this and we worry less. See, how can we possibly say, do not worry? It's because of the weight of this argument. We have a relationship with God, so there's other things that are more important than the basic things of this life. We have the knowledge that worry changes nothing. If you struggle with this, you know this only too well, don't you? Because it doesn't help. And because of this, we know that we're out of control. And then the brilliant one. Father knows what you need. And He's good. You see, we have this. And so we get to verse 32, and we see we have an assurance. God's people have the kingdom. There's confidence. There's nothing to fear. Let me read verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock. See, God's people can be caught up with fears. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Kingdom is ours. We know it's ours because Jesus has made it possible. We're coming to Easter. We're remembering how He does it. His death and His resurrection. We belong to that kingdom. So God says, don't worry. Don't worry. Our secure relationship with God is a reality. And we need to grab hold of it. And so if we belong to this kingdom, worldly passions are no longer the source of our comfort, help, and security. They're not. That's a challenge for us, isn't it?
when we think about our bank accounts and what we spend, when we think about what we do, where we go, how we talk. Verse 33 is liberating. Verse 33. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, we express our newfound lack of fear with generosity. With generosity. See, I think the inclination is when you're worried about something, it's to go in reverse. Not to be generous, but to try and store up things. Get it sorted for yourself first, even become more insular and secure. And Jesus is saying, friends, I've got it sorted. Be generous. Help those in need. See, it's so often we feel like, well, I need to be secure, so I'm focused on my house. I need comfort, so I focus on my entertainment. I need friends, so I love giving gifts. I need status, so I bring up all my possessions. I love approval, so I dress a certain way. Jesus says, you don't worry about those things, you give. To seek the kingdom is you give. You sell your possessions. Kingdom people give generously because our treasure, what our heart cares about, is people. I want to challenge us today not to let these words just be something we assent to and move on by. If you want to revolutionize, turn a new leaf in the way you deal with your worries, give generously to somebody who is in need. There's people around us here who may need something that you can help with. There are many people who we can help, we can provide for. If you help somebody out at church, do it generously. That's what we should be doing. And just as a side note, if somebody offers to help you, your response is to thank them and accept it, not to keep on shunning people who are offering to help. We care for others. Think about who is in need that you could actually do something about. Do this, and it helps us not to worry because we're seeking the kingdom. We give generously. How are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? As I said in the beginning, dealing with anxiety is by trusting God. And I hope as you see this passage today, it is no cliche. It is a reality because of Jesus, what he has done, and our Father who cares for us. The challenge for us today is to let Jesus deal with our needs that are in this world. Not to be anxious about them, not to freak out about them, but to let him provide for us. And I want to ask you to do that today. My final word today is a special word to those brothers and sisters who do profoundly struggle with these things. I want to say to you, your love for Jesus and trusting in him is not inferior because you battle with things that are hard, because for whatever reason they're profound for you. Well done for continuing to follow Jesus and trust in him, even though it just doesn't feel like you can get through the fog. Continue to come back to him. Continue to see that Jesus is your solution, that the Father does care, even though it doesn't feel like it sometimes. Brother, sister, God is your reality. You have a secure relationship with him. And there'll be a day when that fog clears. Maybe not this side of heaven, but certainly on the other side. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will just transform our attitude to worry. We ask that we will trust you Well, remember, we can't change things. We're not in control. You provide. Father, we ask that you will help us seek your kingdom, to be profoundly generous in what we have, that you have provided for us. Father, we do pray that you'll continue to transform us in our attitudes and the way we think about this world. In your Son's name, who makes all this possible. Amen.